Please note that the opinions or views of the guest and or the host of any of the radio broadcasts broadcasted on the Urban Flavor Radio Network are not necessarily the direct opinions or views of the Urban Flavor Radio Network, its advertisers, and or affiliates. The Urban Flavor Radio Network is hereby held harmless against any of the opinions, views, and or the content of the following show.
Okay, y'all know y'all tuned in to Pastor Doobie with me. Y'all, today is going to be a scorcher. It's cold outside, but this show is about to be hot today, y'all. Like, I'm trying to tell you, I got, of course, a lot of information for y'all today. We're going to talk about some real deep stuff. It's about to be real deep, so I want you guys to put your thinking caps on. No, but for real, tune in, y'all. Stay locked to your girl, you know what I'm saying, because I got so much good information for y'all today. It's just some things that's just been pondering on my mind. Y'all know how I am, you know. And I just like to study on one topic for a very long time until it becomes a part of my lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? So these things I've been, you know, talking about amongst my peers and everything else. So I just thought I would bring it to you guys, you know what I'm saying? I just thought I would bring all of my thoughts to you guys and see how y'all feel about it, you know what I'm saying? And you know, here at Pastor Doobie, of course, we're going to be taking off talking about these topics. So y'all go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, sit back, get y'all little stuff together. We about to take off. Don't wait. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take off. Just, you know, wait on it. But right now, though, I want y'all to stay locked, because when we come back, we're going to jump right into Mary 101 session. Right now, I want y'all to just relax, chill. We just got here. Calm down. You know what I'm saying? Catch this vibe right quick. And when we get back, like I said, we're going to jump right into Mary 101. All right. We'll be right back.
Oh, right back at you, it's the Kid 50 Cent.
Hey, what is your boy, the road music?
What are y'all, this is J. Cole.
Yeah, yeah, what's going on, it's Fat Joe.
Yo, this is your boy, Weezy.
You're in the mix with Urban Flavor Radio.
I'm in these streets.
Your urban party station.
You're listening to one of the best internet radio stations around. You're listening to
Urban Flavor Radio.
Taste the flavor. That smile on your face makes it easy to trust you. Don't you, don't you, don't
you. This was what I feel like in the nighttime. Watch what she do when the light shine. Drunk niggas trying to talk in a strip club. Shorty silhouette look like a dollar sign. Caught up. That's just how a nigga brought up. Blown ones for your loony ass niggas. Straight bells for your toony ass niggas. My niggas bigger than a bounce. Roll up in the bitch, still smell like a ounce. Right quick, tight jeans on, so you feel my shit. Tell me something good, baby. Tell me something good, shout it. I'ma bring it to the hood, baby. Bring it back to the hood, shout. This was like I feel like in the nighttime. Bust it up and shorty when the light shine. Still fucking with the same ass, nigga. I know you wanna pray, I know you wanna pray, put your bonnet on. Oh.
serious. Get serious. Oh, you say you're curious. Oh no. Rolling with codeine and a sweatshirt. Shit, I just might kiss her. She just changed her Twitter. The party gets me wetter. And you know that I believe. Cause her pussy the meanest. She don't fuck with many niggas. She don't fuck with any niggas. Yeah, I call all the dips on mine. I call all the nines and dimes. I put on my ice and sneaks. She puts on ice and weed. We stay mobbing for a week. Hit the strip while she asleep. Shout and know that I'm a freak. Shout and know that I'm a freak. And that's why.
Welcome back. So like I said, when y'all come back, we're going to jump right into Mary 101. But first, shout out to Charles Barkley. His birthday was 2 days ago. Shout out to you. If y'all don't know who Charles Barkley is, he... the former famous NBA basketball player. He played for the Philadelphia 76ers from 96 to 2000, the Phoenix Suns from 92 to 96, and the Houston Rockets from 84 to 92. So shout out to Charles Barkley. Like I said, his birthday was 2 days ago. But, all right, y'all, let's get right into it. Because like I said, y'all, today I got some jewels. Actually, I got to admit something to y'all. Please don't be mad, but I'm definitely smoking right now. And it's not 420 yet, but don't worry about it because I got a special one for y'all. But as I was pondering my thoughts and everything today, and I meditated and I was doing all of my, you know, gathering and everything like that today, yes, of course, Mary came a little bit later on. And, you know what I'm saying, I had to get prepared for my show, so it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I love y'all, and like I said, I got one for y'all too, so don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? I can come back down and pick y'all up. That's what we about to do. I'm going to pick y'all up. I'm going to spin the block one more time. I'm going to come pick y'all up. All right, so look, like I said, study things, and as I'm studying these things, I don't know, I kind of go over them all the time. Like, I study them back to back to back, and I constantly, you know what I'm saying, read the books over and over again, you know, watch the videos on YouTube over and over again, you know, whatever it may be, because I wanted to, like I said, become a part of my lifestyle. I want to get it indulged in my head, you know, just in there, you know. So with that being said, I've been reading this book, that I highly encourage every single last one of you guys to get. If you don't have it already, look it up. The book is called The Four Agreements. It's a wisdom book. It is by Don Miguel Ruiz, DonMiguelRuiz. A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom. Now, I don't know if y'all can look up the books, like, you know what I'm saying, on whatever little app, internet thing that you download. Look, I don't know. I don't do that. I read the books. But so yeah, just look that up. It's called The Four Agreements, y'all. And one of the agreements in the book has just really just been sitting on me. And I really wanted to share it with you guys, and hopefully it brings some type of growth to your mind. So it's actually the second agreement. It goes in order from one to four, but it's the second agreement. I do highly advise you guys really get the book and read the book, because I can't even explain. It's mind blowing. Like, let me tell you. Okay, so we're first going to start. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. Now, have you guys ever honestly, you know, had someone tell you something, and when someone tells you something about yourself or anything of that nature, you tend to agree with it? And taking it personally, you don't want it to, you know, alter your feelings and your emotions because how they're feeling or what they said or what came off to you has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with them and what they agreed upon. This section I'm going to read in the book, it actually describes what I was just trying to say. It was saying, nothing that other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in a completely different world from the one we live in. When we take something personally, we make the assumption that they know what is in our world, and we try to impose our world on their world. Even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and the opinions they give are according to the agreements that they have in their minds. Their point of view comes from all the programming they received during domestication. So it's pretty much saying, don't take, you know what I'm saying, if someone's yelling at you or someone starts cursing at you or someone's being a bitch or things of that nature, you know what I'm saying, that has nothing to do with you. That has something to do with the inside that they have going on. They have something going on inside. You know, they're dealing with something and they're letting it all out emotionally when it comes to, I guess, an argument or just anything in general. So this is another thing that he said, and I really felt like it was of importance for me to share this part in the book as well, because he says, it is not important to me what you think about me, and I don't take what you think personally. I don't take it personally when you say, Miguel, you are the best, and I also don't take it personally when they say, Miguel, you are the worst. I know that when you are happy, you will tell me, Miguel, you're such an angel. But when you are mad at me, you will say, oh, Miguel, you are such a devil. You are disgusting. How can you do those things? So that is very true. Like, a lot of people will sit up there and they would, oh, my God, you're great. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. But then as soon as they get mad, things just switch. So you have to learn to not take things so personal, because nothing that people are saying or that they do or anything of that nature, those are the reason why they're reacting is based off of the things that they were programmed with, the things that they took in, the things that they digested as they were going throughout, you know, domestication. It has nothing to do with you at all. So trying to not take things so personally can lead you into the right direction and can lead to less heartbreaks, because you won't be expecting as much, you know what I'm saying, from people. You won't be sitting there trying to wonder how people think about you, what people think about you, because how they feel and what they think really has nothing to do with you. You don't need people to tell you that you're beautiful, that you're great, that you're wonderful. You don't need people to say those things to you. You already know that you're beautiful and that you're great, and you know what I'm saying? And things of that nature. When you start to learn that you don't need that type of validation, it'll help you with less heartbreak, you know, because you won't have to feel the need for someone to tell you that you're beautiful in order for you to feel beautiful. You get what I'm saying? If you have someone telling you all the time that you're beautiful, of course you're going to be programmed to wanting to hear that from someone often. And then all of a sudden, when the universe has its strike of nerve and makes it so that so no one is telling you that you're beautiful, you're going to feel odd, weird in some kind of way. However, if you never take things personal from other people, then you will learn how to just be one with yourself and know that you are beautiful. If you already know that you're beautiful, you already know that you're great, you already know that you're thebomb.com, then you don't need any validation from anybody else. Do not take anything personal. If someone's upset with you and they start yelling and they start blah, 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 and you're like, damn, you was not feeling like that a few minutes ago, or like, you know how when girls be like, oh, well, you was just eating this pussy last night, you know, and all of that ratchet shit. But, you know, yeah, so don't take that personal. Don't take it personally how they are reacting. They are reacting because something stirred up inside of them that they were holding back. They are feeling some type of way. You know what I'm saying? And that is why they are reacting. And then they feel the need that is validation for them to act out and blame you and things like that. And you know, and blame the other person for the way that they are feeling. And that's not necessarily true all the time. You cannot take how other people are feeling and what they were programmed personally at all. You cannot, like I said, it will lead to less heartbreak. Wherever you go, you will find people lying to you. And as your awareness grows, you will notice that you also lie to yourself. Do not expect people to tell you the truth because they also lie to themselves. You have to trust yourself and choose to believe or not to believe what someone says to you. That is how you can break the spell of not taking things personally. You have to learn how to believe what you want to believe or what someone says to you. Like, oh, okay, you know what I'm saying. If others say one thing but do another thing, then that's an example of you lying to yourself if you don't listen to their actions. But if you are truthful within yourself, then you will save yourself a lot of emotional pain. Telling yourself the truth about the situation is going to hurt for sure, definitely, because a lot of we don't like to hear that truth, you know what I'm saying? But you also really don't need to be attached to the pain. So, you know, telling yourself the truth and acknowledging the truth of that means that healing is definitely on its way, and it's just a matter of time before things will get better for you. It will start to grasp, it will start to dramatically change. Your life will start to, you will feel so much better because you don't need. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to, you don't really need, like I said, validation from other people. You know, like Miguel was saying in the book, you don't have to tell me, you know what I'm saying, that, oh, you're great, you're wonderful, because I know that you're saying that because you're really happy right now, you're feeling good, you know, but soon as something like drastic happens, I already know that, you know, shit's going to hit the fan. And to save you the heartbreak, to save you the headache, I'm just not going to take that personally. You know what I'm saying? You know, thank you for saying it. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate it. Make sure you're very, you know, you're very thankful. Don't be rude. You know what I'm saying? You're very thankful. But however, understand within yourself that you do not need that, you know, from other people. You don't, you know, because they were just taught, programmed more so to, when you're feeling good, give compliments. When you're feeling nice, smile. You know, tell that person that they are beautiful. When you and your partner are feeling good and y'all are having a great time, or you and your friend are having a great time, tell them that that's wonderful, that they're beautiful. That's what the program is. But as soon as you get mad or the light switches off, then boom, it's something completely different. You know, so once you learn to not take those things personally, you learn how to heal your heart and learn how to forever keep your heart healed. Now, y'all see the time is 4:18. We about to catch another vibe right quick, all right? And when we get back, we're going to jump right into smoke session because 4:20 is right on its way. And don't worry, y'all. I'm taking off with you. I'm coming around the corner. I'm picking y'all up, all right? So let's catch this vibe right quick, and we'll be right back.
I sip way too much drink. I don't think I can think. I won't try to tell lies. This blunt got me too high. I won't try to pretend. Sue and I had just friends. So I won't try to pretend. Sue and I had just friends. After all the nights that we spent, swear every night too lit. Spend every night with my clique. I just never mind your friends. Telling you it's getting too deep. I'm a player, I just crash, baby. I'm just out here acting like a new me. Got this drink up in my cup, baby.
Welcome back.
All right, y'all. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to take off? All right, here we go.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I want to. here I go about to talk shit. That's wrong. Talking shit. And now I'm coughing, and that's what I get. Yeah, I wasn't coughing at first, y'all. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? I had to come pick y'all up. Yes, I'm sorry. I went around the block. You know what I'm saying? I just had to go off real quick. I was coming back. Y'all know I'm about to leave y'all because I got some hot stuff for y'all right now. All right? So I wasn't about to leave you. So listen. Now that we are going up into, you know, into our little world here, I'm going to talk to y'all about some things that just been, you know what I'm saying, like I said, heavy on my mind. Don't take anything personal, y'all. Don't take anything personal, okay? Get that book, The Four Agreements, like I said, Don Miguel Ruiz. Don't take anything personal, y'all. That is a strong, powerful book. You know what I'm saying? War. We are in war right now, y'all. Y'all ain't know that? I didn't know that. Gender war, multiple wars. Gender war, spiritual war. You know? Let's talk about it. Why do I say gender war? Okay. First of all, it's ridiculous out here. And I feel like you can see it, you know what I'm saying? Like, with this whole women are supposed to, men are supposed to, you know, it kind of strikes up some type of argument when a woman is not doing what a woman is, quote unquote, supposed to do. Or a man is not doing what he, quote unquote, is supposed to do. Or, you know, because you have a penis, you were born a male. So that means you have to, ... you know. Or women, because you are born with a vagina and you can do these certain things, then you have to, ... you know what I'm saying? And that creates, you know, that is a lot, you know, and as you, if you sit and actually think about it, it's everyday life. It's everything that we are doing as far as our jobs and what kind of jobs women have or what kind of jobs women go for or what women or men would even be hired for. Or when a man does a quote unquote feminine job, you know, he's being labeled. And I feel as though, like I said, gender war, you know, we can't do, it has to be what it's supposed to be opposed to just what it is, you know? And that war is it's a lot because, like I said, it's our everyday lives, down to the jobs that we work, down to the clothes that we wear, down to the people that we fall in love with. You know, it's crazy. It really leads up to women belittling men. You know, not so much just everyone as a whole, but definitely women belittling men because, like I said, we feel like we are supposed to or men are supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Men are supposed to be doing this. They are supposed to do this. They can't do this. So now they're bitches and, you know, women start belittling. And then that also leads to women tearing themselves down because they feel like they don't hold the potential or standards of being a wife, or they feel like I'm never going to be this and that because I'm supposed to. It breaks a lot of people just because of your gender, just because your body, your soul entered into, so happened to be a female. Now you're feeling, you know, you're hurt, you're hurting yourself just because of the thought of what a female is supposed to. A divine feminine knows. You know, divine masculine knows. If you are, you know. Our physical being, blah, blah. That's a whole different, you know what? I'm about to get into something whole way deeper than what I'm talking about right now. We don't want to get into all that right now. Back to what I was saying, though. It leads women to belittling themselves and men because, like I said, women feel like they have to do this. You know what I'm saying? So now if they don't, they're like, oh, crap. You know what I'm saying? As well as belittling men because, like I said, they feel like they're supposed to or men are supposed to. Men belittle themselves, pin themselves down because they feel like if they don't do this or if they haven't done this or that as a man, they will be looked at this kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Things like that. A gender war. All right, y'all. We got a caller. We got somebody on the spaceship with us. They wanna come take off with us. Caller, what's up?
All right, so I got a question.
All right, I got an answer.
And what you're saying, are we not supposed to hold people accountable for the positions and the roles that they're supposed to play?
And when you say supposed to play, what do you mean supposed to?
If you get pregnant and you have a child, is his father supposed to be a father? Or is it okay for him not to do his fatherly duties because he's not supposed to be a father? Or is that something that he's supposed to do because he laid down and had a child? Now he has to stand up as a man and do what a man is supposed to do and take care of his child.
Mm-hmm. He is supposed to be a parent. What I'm saying is it's not about whether or not he is the mom or the dad. He is supposed to be the parent. That is what I'm saying. I think people are so used to narrowing it down to a male is supposed to, a female is supposed to, because dad can do everything mom can do. Mom can do everything dad can do as well. So it's not about...
That's not true, though. So mom can have an erection with her penis?
Well, see, that has nothing to do with the child. That is going back
to the
sex.
Yeah, because if it's a male child, eventually, one day, he's going to have an erection. Mom can't truly explain to him... She could give him an idea of what he's going through, but only dad can truly understand what he's going through because dad has a penis too.
Right. Physically, as far when it comes to physical private parts and teaching a male about private parts and giving the actual experience of, you know, the physical body and things of that nature, a female can explain those things, but no, a female has not experienced those things, so she cannot give him the factual of how it will feel or, you know what I'm saying, how it feels to have sex or things of that nature. But what I'm getting at is the bigger picture around the physical, okay? What I'm getting at is, So let's think about it like this. No, a female cannot physically tell her son what it feels like to have an erection, but a female can raise a man. No, a male cannot tell his daughter how it feels like to be penetrated, but he can raise a nice young lady, a woman. So what I'm saying is it has nothing to do with your gender more so. Eventually,
so gender
when it comes
or not, my question to you is, as a parent, are you, because you're saying suppose, are you supposed to raise your children?
Yes.
Right, so there are things in this life that you are supposed to do.
So Right, but not as a gender, not because of you, not because you are a male or a female. I feel like your role, if you have a child, of course you have to raise your child.
Mm-hmm.
Your child gets to a certain age, then no, you don't have that, hold that responsibility anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because of gender. You get what I'm saying? It's not because of you're a male or a female. I think
Go ahead.
We're so tied into male and female that we don't see what it is. You know, we're so tied into what male and female is supposed to do as male and female instead of what is just needs to be done. You know?
Right.
And it's
everything in this life, from the creation of this universe, has a masculine and a feminine trait. Everything.
Right.
From the creation of the universe to now, there has to be a male counterpart to a female counterpart. There has to be a yin and yang. There has to be even balance.
Oh, yeah.
So both parts have to do their part in order for there to be even balance. In parenting, a man has to be a man for his daughter to understand what it means to be treated like a man. So if the man does not do his part, then the daughter lacks that. The woman has to be the nurturer and the caregiver and teach her daughter how to be a woman, right? If she doesn't have that part, then she lacks in that. So it's even balance. Both of those pieces make something. So you can't say the man doesn't supposed to be a man and that's not his gender, is because if he doesn't step up to be that man, his daughter will be harmed by that. If she doesn't step up and play her role as a female gender, then her daughter will be harmed by that. It's even balance, yin and yang.
Right. So that's all a part of being a divine feminine, you know, being a nurturer, and a divine masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to that's what I'm saying with teaching your daughter certain things that a man just cannot, or you know, cannot give you facts upon because he's not a woman. And just as well as a woman can't do those things, because that's when I refer to divine femininity and divine masculinity. Those are just certain
mm-hmm.
traits that a woman holds, you know, naturally. Because she is a woman. It is what it is. You know, it's not forced upon. Now, what I'm speaking about is things that, when I say supposed to, is what is forced upon a male because he is a male. I'm not speaking about things of divine masculinity and divine femininity of what a woman is, you know, supposed to portray as far as that goes. I'm speaking as far as what is, like I said, what is forced upon male and female because, you know, and I don't feel like it's cool, because with this whole society and the way that they are portraying male and female, they're making it as though, for instance, like let's bring it down a little bit. A woman would not. How many women do you see in a construction job? You know what I'm saying? Things of that nature, you know, or when you look at on the internet, if you see a male and he has like two daughters beside him, it's like, oh, you know, it's a big uproar instead of it just being that their parent, you know, he's a parent, you know, but people are seeing it as, he's male, you know. They're looking at it's always a separation with gender. I don't know if I'm
mm-hmm.
making any sense. It's always a separation as far as like that goes, not as far as like divine femininity, and you know, that's a whole big broader topic.
Right. Well, if a female wants to be a construction worker, hey, she has every right to do that, right?
Right.
If that's what she chooses to do, fine. But that's not something that's a matter of she's supposed to or not supposed to, right?
That's
so I have two children. I believe that I'm supposed to be their father because I birthed them. So that's not something that's forced on me. That's a decision that I made to lay down with someone And now the repercussion of that decision, if you will, is that I'm supposed to make sure that they have their basic needs, that they're educated,
right,
that they, you know, the things that a father is supposed to do,
right,
because he's
natural.
The male role
natural.
In their life.
Right, and that's natural. Mm-hmm. That's completely natural. That's obvious, you know what I'm saying? Because, of course, you
right.
don't want to just have a baby and just neglect it, you know?
Right.
So that's obvious. That comes with it. You know what I'm saying? So it all goes to when – then it'll go down to when the woman would say something like, if she says to you, if she says she wants to stay at home and, you know what I'm saying, take care of the baby and you have to go work because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, it's just like, what? You know, because you're the man.
But that concept, to me, and this is my personal opinion, if it's possible to do so, because yes, I do believe that a man should be a provider, right? But
mm-hmm.
when I say provider, I'm not saying sole provider. In today's
okay.
day and age, it's kind of harder to do because most families, you have to have a dual income to survive. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some can do it all by themselves, and that's cool. But for the most part, especially if you got children and both of y'all living together, both of y'all need some kind of financial structure. Now, if it's feasible for him to be able to do that in the grand scheme of things, first of all, we have to, and I speak on this all of the time, when we speak on certain things that we talk about, we're talking about education and knowledge that we've received from a westernized culture. So you're talking
Definitely.
About European women. You're talking about European women who had slaves who never had to do a day's work. And actually, the men never really had to do a day's work either because they had slaves. So then they get to the point where slavery is over. So now the men do have to now go get jobs or whatever, but the women were stay-at-home moms. That's, if you're African, if you're from an African descent, Kemet, and you come from the motherland, your tribe or your ancestors weren't raised like that. The women did, and the men equally worked together. You're talking about a westernized culture that taught you that the woman
right.
should stay at home while the man goes to work. Africa did not teach
yes.
you that. Your ancestors did not teach you that.
Right. Correct.
Because the women,
Absolutely.
If you can look at Africa today, you'll see a woman with a bucket on her head going down there to get the water
mm-hmm.
to wash the clothes.
Correct.
And you'll see the man
yep.
out there killing a pig so his family can eat. They both are working to take care of their household.
Exactly.
If you're a religious person, then you're going to read Proverbs 31:30, where it says that she works diligently. She's
what?
Making clothes. She's up before the sun rises, and she's still up when the sun sets, taking care of her household. So she's working.
Okay.
So she ain't just sitting
calls.
At home just with her feet kicked up watching Married with Children.
Okay. Okay, caller. Take a hit for that, because that was a good reference.
But that's all. I just wanted to share that. It just seemed, and this is just to me, when I'm listening to you, it's like what we're doing is we're taking the accountability away from, you know, as a father, yes, I'm supposed to do certain things. I'm supposed to make sure that my kids are taken care of. So I can't say, oh, well, because you're a man in the male gender role, you don't have to fulfill it. Yeah, you do have to fulfill your male gender role. You got to be a man. Stand up, brother. Be a man. I'm not going to sit here in candy coat and let a man not be a man. Be a man, brother. Take care of your kids. Take
yep.
care of your wife. Take care of your home. Go get a job. Do something.
And I like you. Shout out to you because it sounds like you're doing all of that and more. So let me take a hit for you. Shout out to you.
Thank you for having
Thank
me
you.
On. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
All right, y'all. What I'm getting ready to do is Stop coughing. Boy, oh boy. Trying to stop coughing. All right, but look, y'all, we're going to catch another vibe right quick, all right? And when we get right back, we're going to jump right back into smoke session. Now, we not finished. We not finished. So, all right, we're about to catch this vibe right quick, all right? We be right back.
Starting up my music. Urban Flavor Radio.
I'm in these streets.
Your urban party station.
Yeah. Number one.
Urban Flavor Radio.
Taste the flavor.
I'm from the bottom of the bottom, check your sources, baby. I'm a war, baby, but I can't divorce the paper. I'm a hood nigga that turned rich, so I got Dior's latest. And you know I gotta stick to my roots, I still rock Jordans, baby. It was hell in the projects, I survived the storm. Got brothers in the sky, they die for they born.
I know the work conditions make a champion. Look at my eyes froze like a mannequin. I'm underwater like I'm swimming in pain. Body bag sealed up like a laminate. The only solution for the ops is to stay inside. How your niggas say they rock, but they don't slide. Cause we was hopping out in broad day. Serving fiends in the hallway. From mezzanine to the morning, hope I don't wake up tomorrow.
We was the type of niggas that arrived and robbers. I'ma make the chopper sing like la da la da la da.
The chopper sing like la da da da. Survived in the trenches, I'm a war, baby. Had to slide on the sliders, that ain't normal, baby.
Like the mob ties in Houston, we got ragtime. I pray the Lord forgive me the day that I got baptized. Cause I'm a clutch of sticky every time a car passing by. I don't wanna be Ricky or another victim of homicide. Cause I know the soul never dies. I made the chrome fly. Bitch, I'm a wave road tie. Bullets at your face, bow tie. My persona done got a tongue tied. I was taught that a legend never dies. When the time gotta let the lead fly. Cause I'm a why, baby. Post-traumatic stress, I know the war changed me. Had to bend back, but they could never break me. Had to fly.
We was hopping out in broad day.
Serving fiends in the hallway. From mezzanine to the morning. Hope
I don't wake up tomorrow.
We was the type of niggas that arrived and robbers. I'ma make the chopper sing like la da 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 da.
The chopper sing like
la da 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 da.
Survived in the trenches,
I'm a war, baby.
Had to slide on the sliders,
that ain't normal, baby.
Yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa.
What up, what up, what up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back. All right, y'all, so like I said, we're going to jump right back into it, y'all, for a little while. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But look, I've been studying up on something, and I really just want y'all to help me out with it. You know what I'm saying? I've been studying up on right versus wrong. Now, what I looked up is, what exactly is right and wrong? What is right and wrong? What is right? What is wrong? The sense of what is right and wrong I looked up was conscience, moral sense, ethical motives, ethics, morals, motivation based on ideas of right and wrong. A small voice of conscience, an inner voice that judges your behavior. Okay, so with that being said, a sense of shame, wrong, sense of duty. Okay, so with that being said, I feel like what's right and wrong basically is based off of you and what you feel like is right and wrong. So is there a real right and wrong? So when it says a small and inner voice being your higher self, being something that you hear only and that will only be fed to you, your inner voice and your inner self is not going to be going around talking to everybody. So I feel like when it says small voice, voice of conscience and inner voice, meaning just you that judges your behavior, you are your own judge. So all of that that's going on with you inside of your head is what you are conjuring up to be what's right and what's wrong. I feel like what's right and what's wrong is what plays out in your life, what guides your life and what doesn't guide your life. You know what I'm saying? What sets well in your life, what keeps you going, what keeps you motivated, what keeps you in high frequency, what keeps you, you know, going is what is right for you, what is right for you and what is wrong. And then I kept going. And basically, I was just like, okay. So I saw moral philosophy. Now, moral philosophy, it contemplates what is right and what's wrong. So it basically explores morality and then it examines, you know, how things should be, how people should live in relation to each other. And there are three branches of moral philosophy. So the first one I saw was metaethics, which is pretty much the big picture. So like questions like, you know, what is justice, or is there any truth, or how can I justify my beliefs as better than opposing beliefs held by, you know, other people? How do you know what it is? That is metaethics. And then you got normative ethics. So y'all look up moral philosophy if y'all want to know like the real in depth about it. You know, I'm just running through it. Normative ethics creates framework on deciding what is right and what is wrong. So it answers questions like what we ought to do. Like it pretty much says what we ought to do. Like what are we supposed to do? And then the third one is applied ethics, which is specific practical issues of like moral importance, such as like war, capital punishment, things of like that. It also tackles things like if you should lie to help your friend or a coworker. So that is what applied ethics are. So moral philosophy definitely can provide tools to help examine, you know, and to live an ethical life. And when I say ethical life, I mean like knowing how to approach certain situations in everyday life, like knowing what's right and what's wrong. Because when people say you know what's right and you know what's wrong, it's basically your, like I said, the inner voice, your ideas of your inner. Let me see. When people say you know what's right and what's wrong, you know, okay? You get this instinct. Always trust your instinct. Always follow and trust your instinct. You already know. You get a feeling. Everyone does, you know? So trust that. Always follow your instinct. Being ethical is very, very, it requires making moral judgments. So it's not easy to do making moral judgments because, I mean, it takes a lot of practice to, you know, make moral judgments and be able to stray away from harming yourself or whatever, because we are so weak, because we're programmed, so our minds are very clouded. So it's very hard for us sometimes to make moral judgment at that time. So we do things that put us in situations. So it takes a lot of practice to really, you know, really get in there and know what is right for you and what is wrong, what is right and what is wrong, what is not there, what is making your instinct tingle, you know. So yeah, definitely check out Moral Philosophy and, you know, the three branches of moral philosophy: meta ethics, normative ethics, and applied ethics. And like I said, I was looking it up and I'm trying to figure out, y'all, because we're going to keep going with this, right versus wrong. How can you say, you know, what is right and what is wrong with your instinct, with your inner voice, with your voice of conscience, listening to your inner voice that judges your behavior? Because, like I said, we are our own judges. Like, let me tell you something. Like, have y'all ever sat in a room and just been like, you motherfucker, like, what? Like, why? Come on now. We want to impress ourselves so bad. You know what I'm saying? That we are our own worst judges. So then you get a sense of shame when you know that you did something wrong. You get a sense of shame, sense of duty. Like, you feel like you were, you know what I'm saying, you had a job to do and you failed. You know? You get that feeling. Right versus wrong. So, like, can you say that being right is, you know, based off of just, being right is based off of what fits for you? You know? I don't know. I was also looking up on love, you guys. What is love? You know what I'm saying? To me, what I want to tell you guys, honestly, I feel like love, I feel like I found the answer. I feel like love is being in love with someone, not because of their physical and what they present to you. This is how I love, as far as being a male or a female. I'm not attracted to the male or the female. I'm attracted to what's deeper, you know, your mind, you know, and, you know, I feel like that's love. That is love. Not of what you are expecting one to do for you, or what you are expecting others to, you know, feel for you, or how they're supposed to feel for you and things of that nature. I feel like love is cuddling up with someone that you can feel their inner spirit, and y'all just wrap around each other and it's just bliss. That is love. Love is being in love with someone's spirit, someone's mind, someone's willingness. And it feels really different, you know what I'm saying, to love someone not because of what they present or, you know, what they bring to you materialistically and physically, but what they feed your mind, how you guys feed each other's mind, you know, how you guys listen to them. It's an amazing thing. I feel like that's love right there, y'all. And that's how y'all make me feel. For real, I love you so much. Thank y'all for tuning in, y'all. Y'all make sure that you're going to be able to do it.
Make sure y'all check out DJ Jump Off for Drive After 5. Work mix on www.urbanflavorradio.com. DJ Jump Off for Drive After 5. The dog and the kitty, and everybody know you're at a low, they feel pity, and what's really f***ed up is now you're just normal, no more normal clothes, can't go to the show cause it's normal, and you wonder why, and you resort to getting high, but damn, you can't find your stash, and you never took the time to ask yourself, what you gonna do when the people go home, and you wanna smoke? People's all gone, and somebody has the nerve to take the herb out of the doobie ashtray. Why they do me that way? What you gonna do when your friends go home and you wanna drink a beer, but your ends all gone? Somebody has the nerve to take the herb out my doobie ashtray. Why they do me that way? You probably don't have a lot of money. But if you did, would you find it funny if you lent it and you spent it and you didn't invest? Or put it in the bank so it can gain some interest? You just went and got the biggest car you can find and a couple of more just like it so your friends can follow behind. Never mind how much it cost, you cop the best weed to smoke. And for her, a fur coat, you got jet skis and boats and next thing you broke. And the yacht that you got, it won't sail or float. You look back and try to catch someone's attention for help. You made a right at the light and they made a left and you ask yourself, what you gonna do when the people go home? And you wanna smoke weed but the reefer's all gone. Somebody has the nerve to take the herb out of the doobie ashtray. Why they do me that way? What you gonna do when your friends go home? And you wanna drink a beer but your ends all gone.
Flavor Radio.
Taste the flavor.
Repping the culture on air and in the community.
Do that, baby. All
night long.
We are more than just radio.
No. Hip-hop and R&B.
Urban Flavor Radio.